Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. The first reading today is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 9 to 20. Hannah rose after a meal at Shiloh and presented herself before the Lord. At the time, Eli the priest was sitting on a chair near the doorpost of the Lord's temple. And in her bitterness, do you remember who Hannah is? Hannah had been married, a very good husband, but they had had no children. And that was always, in those times, that was a curse of God. So they obviously had done something wrong. And she's simply not been able to conceive. She had done nothing wrong. I mean, we're all sinful creatures, but she had done nothing wrong out of the ordinary. And yet everybody looks down on her, and it was a very difficult life. But in her bitterness, she prayed to the Lord, take your bitterness, take your fear, take your pain. Where? To the one who can make the difference. In her bitterness, she prayed to the Lord, weeping copiously, and she made a vow promising, quote, O Lord of hosts, if you look with pity on the misery of your handmaid, if you remember me, and do not forget me. If you give your handmaid a male child, I will give him to the Lord for as long as he lives. Neither wine nor liquor shall he drink, and no razor shall ever touch his head. As she remained long at prayer before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. For Hannah was praying silently. Though her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard. And Eli makes a rash judgment here. Eli, thinking her drunk, said to her, look at this. Here's a woman who is virtuous. Here's a woman who isn't guilty of anything they think she is because she's barren. And she's trying to persevere, but she's worn down by people's conclusions and by people's judgments of her. And so here she is in the temple praying. And what happens? The high priest, now, on top of it all, he rashly judges. How long will you make a drunken show of yourself? Sober up from your wine. Poor woman. If I were in her shoes, that would have been a very difficult time. It isn't that, my lord, Hannah answered. I am an unhappy woman. I have had neither wine nor liquor. I was only pouring out my troubles to the Lord. Do not think your handmaid a ne'er-do-well. My prayer has been prompted by my deep sorrow and my misery. She's honest. She doesn't yell. She just tells him the truth. And Eli said, then go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So because she didn't lash back, the judgment of another turned into a blessing. See, we're so quick with our mouths, aren't we? And in a certain sense, you couldn't blame Hannah if she reacted. But she didn't. She spoke the truth. And Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she replied, think kindly of your maidservant. And left. She went to her quarters, she ate and drank with her husband, and no longer appeared downcast. Early the next morning they worshipped before the Lord and then returned to their home in Ramah. When Elkanah had relations with his wife Hannah, the Lord remembered her, and she conceived. And at the end of her term bore a son whom she called Samuel, since she had asked the Lord for him. In a simple way, just notice how God heard her prayer. Simple, humble, not lashing out at other people. And my goodness, with all she had endured, you know, we'd say, well, she had a right to. Well, we never have a right to sin. But you can understand, certainly, reactions if she did get angry. But she chose not to. She spoke the truth and then trusted God. How often that would help us. How often that would stop all kinds of the feuds and divisions that go on in our world and among friends, even among family members. This is a woman of faith. who took it to prayer, who asked God for help. And God helped. The gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. 21 to 28. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" In other words, shut up. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." You don't want somebody who's speaking with the mind of the devil, unclean spirits, however it's labeled, because you don't want to listen to those words. And sometimes they shout in our heads. Jesus wouldn't listen to that, and he rebuked him, and he said, "Quiet, come out of him." All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. Brothers and sisters, I think as a nation, as a people, certainly Catholics in North America, I can't speak for other parts of the world, but I tend to think we're somewhat in the same boat. Our faith is very weak. It really is. It's hard for us to distinguish between the voice of the enemy, the accuser. He's always accusing. Between the voice of the enemy and the voice of God. We need to learn. And that means pondering his word every day, because his word is truth. Pondering it, applying it to your life, living it out. Because otherwise we're just going according to our own whims, for our own best judgments. And sometimes our best judgments are decent, but none of us sees the whole picture. Not one of us sees the whole picture. We need the action of the Holy Spirit, which means we need to pray daily so that we can distinguish the Lord from the evil spirits. Because the evil spirits, they might entice you. They might encourage you to follow them, because they want to lead you down a path that's going to lead you astray. But they speak to our flesh. They speak to our desires. And we're tempted. And sometimes we listen more than we should. And sometimes we make decisions that when we look back on them, we thought, whatever caused me to make that decision or this decision? And more often than not, it's because we're not praying and we're not listening to the voice of God. The voice of God is not familiar to us in our spirits. I'm not speaking audibly, but in our spirits. Because for me, when I get an inspiration, even if it's hard for me to hear, it brings me peace. And I need to pay attention to that, even though God may be asking something of me that's difficult. But he always supplies everything I need. See, when we make decisions, how many times when we make personal decisions, are we thinking of me, myself, and I? Me, myself, and I. It's self-centered, it's self-focused. And learning how to relate to God in the midst of our trials, in the midst of the decisions that we need to make, crying out to God and saying, "Lord, help me, teach me." And if you read Scripture daily, read the Gospels. If you don't know where to start, just read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read some section from them. A chapter's good, a half a chapter every day. Just keep reading until that word, which is living and active, begins surprisingly to reshape your thinking. It's no magic. There isn't anything magic about it. It's God's love for you, and he wants to bring you to a place where you operate with his standards and with his priorities. And that's where the peace is found. That's where the joy comes, the hope, the encouragement. Because the closer you draw to the one who is the source of all love, the one who loves you, the one who gave his son for you so that you might have eternal life. This is really true. It's not some religious gobbledygook. It's true. This is what God has for you, is eternal life with him, where there'll be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death anymore. Scripture says, for the old order will have passed away, and all is new. The eternal now is new. New meaning never having been seen before. That's what awaits us. But it does take faith to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, not just what my senses tell me, my eyes, my ears, etc., etc. I'm not going to follow that. I have to register it, but I don't have to follow it. I take it to the Lord and said, this is what the situation seems like. But what do you say, Lord? What do you want? And the more you read Scripture, the more the answer is going to pop up. Not just because you memorized it, but because as you seek the Lord reveals himself. He brings you peace. And sometimes he'll actually bring a Scripture passage to mind. It's like the light bulb goes on. Honestly, God loves you, and God wants to use you for the salvation of many. God wants his light in you to shine forth in the lives of so many people. We are, as one song says right now, we stumble in the darkness. That's the least we do. But it is true. We stumble in the darkness because we can't see clearly. And because somehow what we're taught in catechism, we just kind of filed away and we don't even pay any attention to it. The gifts and the graces of baptism, of First Holy Communion, of reconciliation, of confirmation, those graces enable you to hear his voice. Not audibly, but to hear his voice in the depths of your soul. To gain the wisdom to know what way to go, because every day you come before him seeking help. Do that, and God will be blessed to work through you for the life of many. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to read again my booklet on faith more precious than gold. I've been talking a lot about faith and will continue to do so, and that booklet could be very helpful to you or to others you'd like to give it. Simply call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or go online to renewalministries.net and click on bookstore.